The sun was warm today, bringing a comfortable mistiness to the forest clearing as Fable worked in her gardens. Her red hair, streaked with blue and purple, was pulled back into a messy bun with her slender wand. The mugwort was ready for harvest, just in time for the full moon festival that evening. It was a critical ingredient for the lunar sight potions, more or less a favored commodity in the festival. While it didn't induce prophecies per se, it would show something for each individual, something that would be important to them or those close to them. A rustling in the bushes made her look up as her fox drake approached. She appeared as a dragon but stood no bigger than a cat. Ashling had a mane of gray fur trailing from the back of her head down her spine. Her clean, polished green scales matched her eyes, which shone like emeralds. Fable smiled at the creature as she padded closer to her.
How are the lavender bushes looking?
Looking well, my keeper.
Ashling answered, her voice as gentle as a breeze in the fields.
The mugwort is ready to be harvested too, so the lunacite potions will be quite effective this year.
I sure hope so,
Fable answered, as she turned away from the drake. It was hard to believe she had been chosen by one of these guardians. They rarely chose keepers anymore, not since the fall of Hyrieth and the sorcerer's betrayal of his guardian. However, Ashling must have seen something in Fable's green thumb, and the guardian of herbs and healing had been her companion for the better part of 4 years now. Fable sat back and stretched out a kink in her back.
There's quite the buzz about this year's festival. Think we should make extra potions?
It couldn't hurt. Seeing as the ingredients are especially fresh this year, this should give many a few insightful dreams.
I couldn't agree more.
Fable stood with her basket of herbs as Ashling leaped onto her shoulder, settling in and nuzzling her keeper.
Then let's get started.
Ashling purred as Fable turned toward the cottage that she called home. It was a small building, being made with one resident in mind. But it was cozy with room for Fable's books and journals, so it was fitting all the same. She smiled as she set the basket on the counter, cleaning the herbs free of bugs and dirt, and getting the stovetop cauldron out before setting the fire. For more significant, more essential potions, she'd stoke up the fire pit outside with her big cast iron cauldron. But this required finesse, and she liked making potions, so the time it took to make them in a smaller pot wasn't a bother. With the cauldron ready, she removed the wand from her hair, letting the braid fall down her back. With a flick of her wrist, little jars levitated around her within easy reach.
Okay, 4 parts moon water, rose hips and petals, cinnamon, lemon balm, eyebright. Ashling, is there any eyebright left from last year?
Yes, I have it here.
Thanks, Ashling. Now I just need jasmine flower, peppermint, mugwort, and lavender.
With a wooden spoon specifically for potions, Fable stirred the brew clockwise to bring in good dreams and knowledge that needed to be known. After a couple stirs, she held her wand over the brew as the contents stirred in lazy circles and closed her eyes as she honed in her focus.
By herb and by moon, I pray for this boon. Bring dreams of light and dreams of sight. Let what's hidden be seen, for this I ask, so may it be.
She could feel the magical energy shiver through her wand and into the brew, turning the water into a shimmering violet color. With a satisfied nod, she poured the potion into several little jars to cool as Ashling inspected them.
These will do very nicely.
I would hope so. If I recall correctly, Lunar Sight was the first potion you taught me how to make.
And you have become very proficient in it.
Fable smiled. Her cheeks warmed a little with the praise as she got to work on the next batch. She'd come a long way from studying under the potion master in the village, and she learned a lot more than he could have offered her. Thrust tried, he did, and she appreciated what she learned from him, but it was after meeting Ashling that she had truly bloomed. The two continued working for a while, the pile of potions growing until all the ingredients were used up, and Fable sat to start labeling the potions. Suddenly, a shadow crossed her window, making her look up. She breathed a sigh of relief at seeing a familiar green-eyed carrot top leaning in her window and grinning like a Cheshire cat. His budding ibex horns, peeking out from under his hair, gave him a playful look.
Creek, you nearly gave me a heart attack.
Whoops! Sorry, Fable. I was passing by when I thought I smelled potions in the works.
Fable raised an eyebrow at her dear friend. She'd known Creek since she first arrived in Darnassy, the satyr having been the first to greet her, and often helped with potions and delivering them. While he was looking to apprentice under Rahin, the forge master, he was the person you would go to for anything, whether it be a chat, helping in foraging, or taste testing. However, he seemed to be more in favor of taste testing most.
You realize I can't just give you these, right? They're for selling only.
Not even a test to see if it works?
No, Creek, and if you keep insisting, you won't have any of the Strix custard I made earlier.
You made Strix custard? I thought the fairies were holding back this year.
Ashling and I have someone we can ask for the Strix sticks. Come on, I have them chilling over here.
Creek grinned and came in as Fable got out two bowls of the Strix custard. He eagerly sat down, crossing his ginger-furred goat legs on the floor, and happily dug into the chilled treat. He gave a delighted sigh as his eyes rolled back at the delightful taste of cinnamon sugar.
Huh. You and your sweet tooth.
Hey, so I enjoy sweets. What about it? So, are you excited for the festival?
Fable chuckled as she eyed the mountain of lunar sight potions and quickly made an estimate of the total.
Perhaps a little bit, yes.
Creek gave a slight hum, and Fable noticed it.
Are you not looking forward to it?
I am. I just have a weird feeling about this year, and I don't know why. I know it sounds crazy, but it feels different.
Fable lifted her eyes to her dear friend, giving her head a tilt at his concerns. She knew Creek had the potential to be a seer since she came to Darnassy, and noticed a pattern in his predictions. He always claimed he didn't want to be a seer, seeing how unhappy the high elf seer, Crystal, always seemed. However, Fable tried to encourage him to trust his gift. It was an uncommon one, after all.
Did anyone say anything about the festival you could have overheard?
No, it's like watching a tidal wave bearing down on a beach village, and no one else is seeing it but you. And I can't tell anyone what's coming, since they can't see it, and you technically can't either. So who'd believe me?
Ashton gave a small purr, swishing her tail.
Sounds like a premonition. They are common around this time of year. Perhaps I should return to the clan and see what I can dig up. However, I won't be back in time for the festival.
Fable turned to Ashling while she spoke, and Creek's gaze shifted between them.
So, what did she say?
She offered to see if any members of her clan can give you answers. She won't be back until after the festival, though. Will you be okay until then?
Yeah, I think I can last that long.
Ashling purred again and effectually bumped her head against Creek's hand, allowing him to pet her. She used the contact to offer him comfort before turning away and climbing to the window. She gazed back at her keeper over her shoulder, sharing a comforting mental nudge with Fable.
I'll return soon.
You'd better. See you soon, Ashling.
Fable answered as her fox drake leaped away into the forest. With a deep sigh and putting her hands on her hips, Fable turned and grinned at Creek, wanting to cheer him up.
Well, Creek, better finish that up. I'm going to need help getting these potions to my shop.
Creek blinked at her, then at the custard, his shoulders slowly dropping in mock dismay.
I should have known the custard was a trap.
In the far-off lands of Earth, where man has nearly forgotten magic, a bell rang to signal a free period had begun in the Denver Institute of Art. This was the best part of the day for Brendan Books. The time between classes and track, where he could just sit and draw. He had his headphones on as he doodled, working on his sketch he planned to sell once he got a canvas for it. So it was just him, the pencil in his hand, the bark of the tree against his back, and the music that let his imagination play. The brunette young man kept his equally brown eyes on his work, only cementing the idea that no one would peg him as an athlete or that he was here on a track scholarship. He was tall and thin, but muscled well for track. Sure, it wasn't Olympics-worthy skill level, but it got him by. And for him, that's what mattered. His hair was long, and he usually had it pulled back in a man bun, though he almost always had a single braid in the locks. Some days it was big, Other days, it was small and delicate. And on rare days, it was completely uneven. Brendan was so engrossed in his sketch that he didn't notice someone had approached him until their shadow blocked out the sunlight he was drawing by. Scowling a little, he pulled his headphones down and looked up, only for his scowl to melt away.
Hey Nick, what's up, man?
In front of him was a man about his age, early to mid-20s, with platinum blonde hair, bright blue eyes behind glasses, and a straight posture. Nicholas Griffin smiled back at Brendan before sitting beside him and passing him a box wrapped in a plastic bag.
You ran out of the house without lunch, Bren. Again.
Oh, dude. You're a literal hero, thanks.
Brendan grinned as he set aside his sketchbook and accepted the lunch. From the look of it, it was a Tokyo Joe's bento with sushi, rice, and a salad.
This makes it the third time you forgot.
Yeah, I've been staying up late. By the time I'm up and ready for class, I'm lucky to grab a bagel on the way to school.
What's been keeping you up?
Oh, just a commission I'm finishing up.
You mean that forest painting you've been obsessing over?
Well, the guy is paying $300 for it. I gotta make sure it's worth the price.
But what about your studies?
Come on, we've known each other for years. You know full well that Brendan Books isn't concerned about his last name.
Nicholas raised an eyebrow at him and didn't respond. Brendan held the grin for a moment before it finally slipped and he sighed.
Abby's back in the hospital, so I'm a bit worried.
That's the fourth time this year.
Yeah, I know. The money from the commissions helps with the medical bills, at least a little bit.
I take it you'll be visiting her this afternoon then.
That's the plan. Right after class, I'll be heading over. What about you?
My mum is in town visiting. I have to tidy the house before she arrives.
Brendan grinned at Nick, finding it funny that they were friends. Nick came from a well-off family that had an estate in Britain. He had an excellent education. Though when he and his family bought the second estate in Vail, Colorado, Nick had insisted on a small summer home in the Springs. Meanwhile, Brendan was a suburban kid with a paper route to run. He and his sister Abby were close enough to where they'd walk to and fro from school with Nick. When Abby developed her heart condition, Brendan did his best to ensure she didn't give up on herself. His family didn't have much, so when he picked up art and started selling it, he'd squirrel away what he could for Abby. Nick and Brendan had become fast friends. While they were vastly different from each other, they were close enough friends where they rented a house for college semesters. Brendan shook his head, pulling himself out of his daydreaming, and finished his lunch.
Thanks for bringing me lunch, Nick.
You're welcome. Seeing as you forgot it, and you have other things on your mind, I couldn't let my roommate go hungry. Just try not to lose focus. You're here for a degree, after all.
Yeah, right. That super important paper that declares me good enough to be hired somewhere.
Not entirely untrue. Anyway, would you mind bringing home dinner since you're out?
You good with pizza?
I suppose.
Your usual?
That sounds agreeable.
Pineapple with bacon, mushroom, and Alfredo sauce. Got it.
You're terrible.
Yep, and yet I'm still your friend.
Yeah, somehow. I don't know how exactly, but somehow you are.
The two laughed as Brendan cleaned up his art supplies and stood with a melancholy sigh. Back to reality. What a plain old, boring reality with nothing except dull expectations and duller aspects. It was.